Dr. Tanju Sirmali is a prominent psychiatrist in Turkey who has published numerous important studies on neurofeedback. In 2025, he posted information on the NeuroGuide QEG forum about a new article by Miguel Litteropez Zamora and colleagues, 2025, in Spain, which presents a systematic review of neurofeedback for dyslexia. This post summarizes the article. What is dyslexia? According to the Cleveland Clinic, 2025, dyslexia is a specific neurodevelopmental learning disability that makes reading, writing, and spelling difficult. There are varying severities of dyslexia, each corresponding to different degrees of impact on one's school, work, or day-to-day functioning. Dyslexia is not the result of limited educational opportunity, sensory or motor dysfunction, intellectual deficits, or socioeconomic impoverishment, and it does not represent a loss of ability after reading skills have already been acquired, i.e., adult stroke-related dyslexia is not developmental dyslexia. As summarized by Litteropez Zamora et al., 2025, associated cognitive deficiencies may include those of phonological awareness, short-term verbal memory, visual-auditory association, and rapid naming. Developmental dyslexia affects approximately 7% of the global population, regardless of sex or race. However, an additional 13% may have mild and undiagnosed difficulty with reading. A trained health professional does an assessment and diagnosis of dyslexia. Treatment for dyslexia may involve educational methods that train reading and related skills provided by a speech-language pathologist, teacher, or educational specialist. Litteropez Zamora et al., 2025, review differences in cerebral activation seen in fMRI studies of dyslexia that are localized to the left posterior temporoparietal cortex, the left occipitotemporal cortex, and the left frontal cortex. Canelli et al., 2023, conducted a systematic review of EEG in dyslexia, noting, in particular, resting EEG abnormalities in the theta, excess, and alpha, deficient, bands, which are not particularly well localized but often appear in frontocentral regions, as well as in delta and temporo-occipital regions for alpha. High beta differences are unlikely in any region. Litteropez Zamora et al., 2025, suggests that during phonological tasks, increased delta amplitude is seen in the left frontal region. The meta-analysis of fMRI findings by Barquero and colleagues showed consistent activation changes in dyslexic subjects following reading intervention, localized to the left thalamus, right inferior frontal insula, left inferior frontal cortex, right posterior cingulate, and the left middle occipital gyrus. These findings suggest that neuromodulation of these brain structures may influence dyslexia. A recent meta-analysis of non-invasive brain stimulation found that stimulation of left hemisphere sites was a promising adjunct to reading training. Stimulation sites that showed improvements in reading included those close to F7, T3, T5, P3, and O1, inferior frontal gyrus, superior temporal gyrus, inferior parietal lobe, posterior middle temporal gyrus, supramarginal gyrus. This post will summarize and expand on the systematic review by Litteropez Zamora et al., 2025, of neurofeedback for the treatment of developmental dyslexia. What is a systematic review? Brignard Dello Peterson et al., 2025, write that a systematic review is a type of evidence synthesis in which authors develop explicit eligibility criteria, collect all the available studies that meet these criteria, and summarize results using reproducible methods that minimize biases and errors. Systematic reviews serve different purposes and use a different methodology than other types of evidence synthesis, such as narrative reviews, scoping reviews, and overviews of reviews. Systematic reviews can address questions regarding effects of interventions or exposures, diagnostic properties of tests, and prevalence or prognosis of diseases. All rigorous systematic reviews have common processes that include 1. Determining the question and eligibility criteria, including a priori specification of subgroup hypotheses. 2. Searching for evidence and selecting studies. 3. Abstracting data and assessing risk of bias of the included studies. 4. Summarizing the data for each outcome of interest, whenever possible, using meta-analyses. And 5. Assessing the certainty of the evidence and drawing conclusions. There are several tools that can guide and facilitate the systematic review process, but methodological and content expertise are always necessary. What is a meta-analysis? A meta-analysis may be included in a systematic review to quantify the statistical significance of a pooled estimate of the overall relationship between variables or the overall effect size of a treatment. Because the data from several studies are combined, the larger sample size may be more representative of the population of individuals with a condition or who receive a treatment, and the results may have greater statistical power, i.e., a lower likelihood of missing true differences between experimental and control conditions. Suppose a meta-analysis includes randomized control designs, RCTs. In that case, its results produce the highest level of scientific evidence for critical appraisal in the hierarchy of evidence types, followed by systematic reviews. What is critical appraisal? Critical appraisal in the health sciences is the systematic evaluation of research to determine its value for answering a question. For example, how useful is neurofeedback of a particular type for reducing problems related to dyslexia with clients like my own? Critical appraisal involves several steps, such as using a system to search for relevant information, evaluating the research question and experimental design according to scientific standards, examining measurement and statistical methods, assessing risk of bias, considering the size of the relationship between variables or size of treatment effect, and judging how reproducible the findings are. Practitioners of neurofeedback should base their decisions on the best available scientific evidence. This suggests the importance of critically appraising evidence to enact the ethical values of doing good, beneficence, and avoiding harm, non-maleficence. Summary of the Systematic Review of Neurofeedback for Dyslexia by Litteropez Zamora et al., 2025. Neurofeedback practitioners may not typically consider neurofeedback as beneficial for dyslexia, but a substantial body of research supports its effectiveness as a complement to standard speech-language and educational interventions. Litteropez Zamora et al., 2025, employed standardized methodological guidelines for conducting a systematic review of neurofeedback for dyslexia, following the preferred reporting items for systematic reviews and meta-analyses, PRISMA, guidelines. Search guidelines included subjects diagnosed with dyslexia, neurofeedback-based interventions, and publications in either Spanish or English, with a focus on those published within the past 20 years. 12 articles met the selection criteria. These included children and adolescents with a diagnosis of dyslexia, who had outcome measures related to reading performance, and were published in peer-reviewed journals. A total of 144 subjects, aged 6 to 12, were included in the 12 studies, with only 3 having control groups and only 1 employing a randomized control design. Litteropez Zamora et al., 2025, categorized the 12 studies into 4 groups based on neurofeedback protocol, reducing theta and increasing mid-beta, reducing theta and increasing alpha, SMR sensorimotor rhythm, QEG-based. Several of the studies set protocols to inhibit feedback when EEG amplitude was both below threshold for frequencies 8 Hz or below, and provide feedback when amplitude was above threshold for frequencies from 15 to 18 Hz at left frontal and left temporal sites, i.e., F3, F7, T3. Each study demonstrated improvement with neurofeedback, although only 2 measured reading-related variables, and only 1 included a control group. 2 other studies provided feedback aimed at reducing the ratio of theta Z-scores to alpha Z-scores at the site where the ratio was highest before training. Measures of reading were not used, but measures of attention showed improvement following neurofeedback. Only the 2016 study by Fernandez et al. Included a control group. Oh et al., 2014, set their neurofeedback protocol to provide feedback when theta and 22 to 30 Hz beta were below amplitude thresholds, and concurrently 15 to 20 Hz beta was above threshold at C3 and C4. Attention and phonological awareness improved. Harandi and Mogadam, 2017, compared SMR training at C3 and C4 to a multisensory training method in a randomized controlled experiment with 6 subjects. Both groups improved their writing to dictation. The improvement did not differ significantly between groups, although the effect size of the SMR group was somewhat larger. Walker employed QEEG-guided neurofeedback in a pre-post-test design, observing improvements in reading and writing. Bredeler et al., 2010, conducted a randomized controlled trial comparing neurofeedback plus counseling for reading and spelling to counseling for reading and spelling without neurofeedback. Neurofeedback protocols were based on QEG assessment. Although reading performance improved equally for subjects in both groups, spelling improved significantly more for subjects receiving neurofeedback. The Litteropez-Zamora et al., 2025, article noted the heterogeneity of research. It concludes that there is currently insufficient evidence to suggest that neurofeedback alone has a significant and reliable effect on improving reading skills in individuals with dyslexia. Litteropez-Zamora et al., 2025, wrote in their abstract that there is no significant evidence to determine the efficacy of neurofeedback interventions in the dyslexic population. However, in their discussion, they provided a more nuanced conclusion, stating that most studies they reviewed reported direct improvements in reading accuracy and related variables. They suggested that the positive results of neurofeedback occur when combined with speech therapy or training in reading processes. Summary of the systematic review by Giovanni et al., 2024. Litteropez-Zamora et al., 2025, stated that theirs is the first systematic review of neurofeedback for dyslexia. However, it appears that just as they were submitting their manuscript for publication review in mid-2024, another systematic review of neurofeedback for children with dyslexia was being published by Giovanni et al., 2024. These authors employed the same PRISMA methods for systematic reviews as did Litteropez-Zamora et al., 2025, but included articles in both Persian and English, as Iran is the center of much neurofeedback research and the location of Giovanni and colleagues. Their 2024 systematic review identified 39 studies, including 10 RCTs, 15 non-randomized experimental studies, and 14 case studies. The corrected count based on article re-reviews. Data from this pool of studies showed some evidence of changes in EEG function, reading skills, cognitive skills underlying reading, and psychological function. Based on the studies they reviewed, Giovanni et al., 2024, concluded that the use of neurofeedback for training children with dyslexia is supported by significant evidence and can be used as part of a multidimensional approach that includes other established treatments such as speech-language pathology and educational methods. Protocols that inhibit frequencies below 8 Hz and reward mid-beta frequencies decrease the ratio of theta to alpha amplitude and increase individually identified coherence deficiencies, which are most supported. Left hemisphere electrode sites, such as F3, F7, C3, T7, and O1, are electrode placements to consider. The 10 RCTs included in Giovanni et al., 2024, include those of Albarn Cardenas et al., 2023, Ascari and Fekri, 2019, Bredeler et al., 2010, Coben et al., 2015, Darabi et al., 2022, Iraglu et al., 2022, Abbasi Fashami et al., 2022, Kanjani et al., 2013, Lee and Chun, 2017, and Taskoff and Dushanova, 2022. Albarn Cardenas et al., 2023, randomly assigned children with reading disorders to either neurofeedback, aimed at downtraining the theta/alpha ratio at the 10-20 site with the greatest baseline value, or to sham neurofeedback. Increased reading accuracy and comprehension were seen only in the neurofeedback group. Ascari and Fekri, 2019, randomly assigned dyslexic students to either neurofeedback or a no-treatment control group, finding that those receiving neurofeedback showed improvements in reading and writing skills. Coben et al., 2015, randomized dyslexic children to receive coherence neurofeedback training plus resource room reading supports or to resource room supports alone. Neurofeedback involved two-channel coherence training over the left hemisphere based on bands and sites determined with QEG pre-assessment. Reading scores improved only for the neurofeedback plus resource room subjects. Darabi et al., 2022, randomly assigned children with dyslexia to either neurofeedback, a pattern treatment, or no treatment. The neurofeedback group showed improvement in several reading measures, whereas the patterning treatment showed less improvement, but more than the no-treatment control group. Iraglu et al., 2022, randomly assigned students with dyslexia to neurofeedback or special education. The neurofeedback was based on a mobile app that incorporated principles of multisensory learning. It downtrained theta at Broca's and Wernicke's areas if the amplitude was above the norm, and downtrained theta at any of 12 EEG recording sites that had the highest amplitude of theta on the left and on the right side. Reading comprehension improved most in the neurofeedback group. Khanjani et al., 2013, randomly assigned two children to each of three conditions: neurofeedback alone, neurofeedback plus multisensory treatment, and multisensory treatment alone. The combined approach yielded the best results, followed by multisensory treatment, and then neurofeedback. Lee and Chun, 2017, randomized children with dyslexia to either neurofeedback, increased 15 to 18 Hz, decreased 1 to 8 Hz, at T3 or a training course. An interesting hypothesis of this study was that neurofeedback would help children remain calmer when encountering the frustrating challenges of reading. Those in the neurofeedback group, in fact, showed less aggressive behavior than those in the control group following training, and exhibited an increased perception of control over brainwaves. The control group showed an increase in reading problems at the end of the study, whereas the neurofeedback showed a smaller increase. Taskoff and Dushanova, 2022, randomized dyslexic children to neurofeedback plus visual training or to a no-treatment control group. Neurofeedback was provided with Z-score feedback based on EEG responses to visual stimuli. Brain activation changes relevant to dyslexia were seen only for the neurofeedback group. Fashami et al., 2022, did not present specific information about their neurofeedback protocol or measures. Summary of evidence supporting neurofeedback for dyslexia. Of the studies reviewed by Litteropez-Zamora et al., 2025, and Giovanni et al., 2024, 24 measured reading, writing, or spelling. These provide some preliminary evidence regarding the usefulness of neurofeedback for dyslexia, particularly when it is used as an adjunct to directed reading training in the context of careful assessment and consideration of neurological models of the condition and its remediation. However, the neurofeedback protocols used in the available research are diverse. The number of subjects studied was relatively small, and the tests used to measure reading were inconsistently employed. Rather than ask, does neurofeedback help to reduce dyslexia? A better question is to ask, what type of neurofeedback helps to reduce dyslexia or some of its symptoms? When an individual study employs a randomized controlled trial experimental design, it provides the strongest type of scientific evidence to support its research question. Although not all use the same research question, 11 RCTs have been conducted with dyslexic subjects, one of which did not measure reading variables, and one of which did not present details regarding neurofeedback protocol or outcome measures. Of the remaining 9 RCTs that measured reading variables, 8 compared neurofeedback to a group receiving an active treatment. 5 of these 8 studies found that neurofeedback resulted in a better outcome. 2 studies found that when neurofeedback was added to reading instruction, the combination was superior. Degrabi et al. 2022 only has an English abstract of the Persian article. The 3 other RCTs that used an active control, 2 found that neurofeedback yielded results comparable to the control, and 1 found that neurofeedback performed worse than the control group. A 9th RCT compared neurofeedback to no treatment and found neurofeedback to give better results, reiterating that it is important in clinical applications to conduct individualized assessment and consider the neuroscience related to dyslexia. These 9 RCTs in sum suggest that frequencies, variables, and sites to consider for training may include increasing coherence of delta, theta, or alpha in the left hemisphere. Several studies used protocols with inhibits for delta and theta bands at left hemisphere sites. The cortical sites involved in coherence and amplitude training often involved left hemisphere prefrontal and temporal locations, although other left hemisphere sites were sometimes used, as well as right hemisphere sites if amplitude was either significantly above or below the norm. 4 controlled studies and 11 case studies that measured variables related to deficient dyslexic performance were also reviewed by Litteropez-Zamora et al., 2025, and Giovanni et al., 2024. Of these various studies, a large proportion used thresholds to inhibit feedback when theta and delta amplitudes were high simultaneously, as well as when SMR, or mid-beta, 15 to 18 Hz, was high. Some studies also used QEG-guided neurofeedback to determine coherence variables for rewarding or inhibiting. Training was typically conducted with left hemisphere sites, using prefrontal, temporal, or central locations. APB efficacy levels can be applied to the question of whether neurofeedback provides benefit in cases of developmental dyslexia, based on the 24 studies reviewed here that include measures of reading, writing, spelling, or other reading-related variables. Neurofeedback alone is probably efficacious. Neurofeedback using delta and theta inhibits or left-sided coherence training based on QEG findings were promising despite methodological limitations. Although multiple RCTs have shown equal or better outcomes compared to typical treatments on measures of dyslexia-related performance deficiencies, the conservative rating of probably efficacious, level 3, should probably be applied due to the relatively small number of subjects, the use of multiple neurofeedback methods and dyslexia measures, the absence of multi-center replications of identical neurofeedback methods, and the lack of large effect sizes. Giovanni et al., 2024, and Littoropez Zamora et al., 2025, largely reached the same conclusions. They also helpfully noted the limitations of the existing studies, among which are a dearth of follow-up studies and a small total number of participants. Neurofeedback integrated with evidence-based reading interventions. When these neurofeedback methods are delivered in conjunction with specific training to remediate symptoms of dyslexia, neurofeedback likely merits a rating of level 4. Efficacious using the ABP efficacy level hierarchy. 4 takeaways. Neurofeedback may be particularly helpful when it is based on a careful baseline EEG assessment and combined with reading training. Left hemisphere coherence training and inhibition of frontotemporal theta should be considered as training parameters. Ethical considerations are important. Clinicians should aspire to do good and avoid harm. They can best achieve this by conducting thorough, individualized assessments and providing neurofeedback for dyslexia in combination with treatment to address dyslexia-related deficiencies if evidence from EEG assessments and neuroscientific models suggests the presence of abnormal EEG findings. Critical appraisal is important for clinical work. QEG and neurofeedback forums are very helpful sources of information about science and practice that colleagues generously share. When considering any information, however, it is essential to evaluate its quality and its applicability to one's individual client. Although meta-analyses and systematic reviews are considered the pinnacle of scientific evidence, authors of different meta-analyses and systematic reviews on the same topic may review different research and come to different conclusions. Therefore, critical appraisal of such studies is important. There is a growing interest in neurofeedback-related clinical science for dyslexia worldwide. Here we see a prominent psychiatrist and researcher from Turkey, Sirmali, use a QEG forum based in the US, NeuroGuide, to share a systematic review from Spain that examines research from centers that have been exploring neurofeedback for dyslexia in Iran and Mexico that caught the eye of a Canadian, this writer, who was stimulated by the article Sirmali shared and collaborated with Dr. Schaefer in Missouri to produce this post. These connections enable us to see how our understanding and treatment of mind-body health are being extended through the study of biofeedback, neurofeedback, and neuromodulation internationally.